Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Touchdown! Touchdown!
And he's got it at the 10-yard line!
Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo! The Bills win it in overtime!
Those first two games, they count. That wasn't preseason. They count. They matter. The Bills won both of them, setting themselves up well with a good start this season, but this one matters even more, doesn't it? The home opener, the Archer Park debut of the 2019 Buffalo Bills. This one is invested with hype. Empty backfield. Here comes the snap. Allen has time. Hit as he throws. Caught by Zay Jones at the 30. He's got the first down, and he goes down at the Cincinnati 23-yard line. The snap. Josh going to throw it. Looks. Fires into the end zone. Caught. Touchdown! Dawson Knox, touchdown Buffalo! The Bills strike first! And Allen runs to his right, looks to his right, throws to his right, caught! They got it! Cole Beasley converts the 2 points. Now the snap. Dalton gonna throw it, four-man rush. His pass left side is intercepted! It is picked off by Tre'Davious White at the Buffalo 40, and he goes right down there. Takes the snap, pocket collapsing, he's in trouble back there. Josh tries to get away from it, fires downfield, it is intercepted. Picked off at the 45-yard line. Andy Dalton takes the shotgun snap, hands it off to his tailback. He is met. Oh, wait a minute. Dalton kept it and ran it in. They faked everybody out, including me. They're trying to tie it up here in the fourth quarter. Dalton's going to throw it. Rolls right, fires into the end zone. Caught by Mixon. Touchdown, Bengals. Josh looks left, fires left. Got a man wide open. It is caught by Dawson Knox out of midfield on the run. Gets past one man, trying to get past another man. Pulls him down, and he is finally knocked out of bounds at the Cincinnati 24-yard line. Dawson Knox running after the catch, knocking down Bengals along the way. What a huge play that was. Game on the line, takes it, turns. Gore driving forward into the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo! Frank Gore drove his way into the end zone for the touchdown, and the Bills get the lead back again. 21 seconds left. Bills up by four. The snap. Dalton going to throw it. Fires it. Is tipped. It is intercepted! Intercepted at the 10-yard line by the Bills! Intercepted by Tre'Davious White, and that should do it. The Bills are 3-0. They win their home opener, and they had to sweat it out with a 21-17 win over the Cincinnati Bengals.
There you go, the Game Rewind presented by Toshiba, the official copier company of the Buffalo Bills. And good afternoon. Welcome to One Bills Live here at One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Steve Tasker, and a special guest for the first hour today, former Bills center, my partner on the Sunday radio broadcast on the Bills Radio Network. Really happy to have Eric Wood in studio with us. Hello, Eric. Thanks for coming by.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Happy to be in studio. This is fun.
Yeah, and now that they're 3-0, it makes it even everybody's happier, right? Pretty cool.
Makes our broadcast better, makes these Monday mornings better. That's a lot right. of smiles around the building today. Yeah. 3-0 feels pretty good.
I tell everybody, my predecessor, my late friend Van Miller used to say this all the time. Murph, when they're winning, we're the greatest announcers in the world. And he was right? It felt that way. Right, the last 24 hours or so.
Absolutely, and the suspense of yesterday made the broadcast a ton of fun. And through the preseason, we kept saying, and you kept telling me, you know, it's going to be a lot more fun in the regular season because the games become climactic, not anticlimactic, not to downgrade the players that are playing on the field at the end of the preseason games, but. Right. In the NFL games, most of the games are close.
Yeah.
So they get more suspenseful as they go, and it's been fun to be on the call the last few weeks with you.
We got a great show here. Steve and I here with Eric for the first hour, and I want to kick things off this way, Eric, and get Steve involved in this too. But you said something yesterday which sort of resonated with me throughout the night as I thought back about the win, about how I think the word you might have used was resourceful. They find ways to win. They've won three different ways this year so far. It's not as they're not killing anybody. They're not steamrolling people, but they're finding a way to win, which is basically how you put together a successful NFL season, it seems to me.
Absolutely. And you're never going to play a perfect game in the NFL. It's very rare to have blowouts in the NFL. So you have to learn to win in this league. In the early 90s, when you guys were winning and making Super Bowls, each week, if you fell down in the game, it was, right. We're fine. We have so much talent on this team. We're so good. We've done it before. We can do it again. Well, with the Bills struggling last season, having a 6-10 record, a lot of young guys on the team for that time, it's so important early in the season, and it's so huge that they've won in three different fashions for later in the season. They can always revert back to those games. Hey, we were down 14-0 against the Jets on the road. We come back and win. Week two, we built a lead on the road. And then, yes, we stalled out, but we held on, and we put them away. And then yesterday, 14-0, they blow the lead. And then late in the game, they come back. And you could always revert back to those times and think, we've done it before, we can do it again.
Yeah, and this team they did that to yesterday was probably the best team they faced this season. The Bengals had an experienced quarterback who, when they got desperate, when they were behind the eight ball coming out of the second half, they had, you told me, Murph, you're right, 7 penalties in the first half for the Bengals, 1 in the second half. They bared down and got some things together. Tyler Boyd became a factor in the second half. The Bills' defense was forced to do some things by this offense of the Bengals that they didn't have to do in the first half. They had to defend the run and the play action. They, you know, the play action became a bigger factor for them. And they just put more stress on them. And the Bills, you know, offense, you know, they did not stay on the field well enough in the second half. So it started to look like it was going to get away from them. But then, too, you know, I don't know what it is about the Josh Allen and this offense seem to play good in crunch time. They do seem to play well in crunch time in the fourth quarter. They do seem to have something in the tank when the chips are down. I think it's a good thing, but it's, you know, good and bad. They've had to go to the well a couple of times here in the early going of the season.
They have. And it's incredible to have a quarterback right now in his second year that has the moxie in the fourth quarter with the game on the line that says, give me the ball, I'll make the play with my legs. You know, his play where he escaped the pocket, he breaks away. A lot of quarterbacks, they probably would have ruled that play dead as soon as he was grasped. The refs, thank God, left that play go, and he scrambles out to, down to the 8-yard line to set up the touchdown drive. Right. But to your original point about this was probably the best team that the Bills played so far, you're probably right. And people will look at the Bengals and say they're 0-3, but the Bengals came in with the number 2 passing attack in the NFL, and Joe Mixon had struggled through 2 weeks of the season, only averaging 13.5 yards per game, but he was the AFC leading rusher last season.
Right.
And they gave Seattle all they could handle in week one at Seattle, which is right. An incredibly tough place to play. And then they come in yesterday with an experienced quarterback. That environment yesterday was absolutely incredible and rattles a lot of quarterbacks in this league. But Andy Dalton, in his 9th season, has played in a lot of games with an atmosphere like that. So they were poised, and they gave the Bills all they could handle down the stretch. And the Bills earned a victory at the end of the game to get to 3-0.
Steve and I in studio with Eric Wood. Eric will be here for the hour, the color analyst on the Bills Radio Network, former Bills center. We've got Dawson Knox, one of the stars of yesterday's Bills victory, coming in this hour, probably about 20 minutes away. Chris Brown, Bills insider, BuffaloBills.com, joins us at 1. The Meddies with Maddie Glab coming up at the 2 o'clock hour, and lots of reaction to you. What you want to say about that game? There's a lot to say. And let's get you right to our Twitter question today. Not a poll today, but a question. And it's a good one. Look, there were good things and bad things yesterday, right? We all agree. The Bills beat the Bengals 3-0, but we want your reaction. What did you like about yesterday's win, and what did you dislike? And you need one of each when you send in a something for the tweet sheet, and you can do that at 1 Bills Live or give us a call at
888-552-550.
There you go. Thank you. Yeah.
You got too many reads going.
No,
you have too
yesterday.
Many between the broadcast and now these reads and numbers. It's hard
right?
to keep those all straight.
552-550. Duh. But what did you like and what did you dislike? And you need at least one of each. Maybe you got more on one side or the other, but let us know. One thing about the Bengals, Steve and Eric, and I'll start with you. They're as Eric pointed out, Dalton he's not great. He's a capable quarterback, a veteran quarterback, was not rattled by the atmosphere here. He's got all kinds of weaponry in the passing game. He's got Joe Mixon, who we knew was better than his performance in the first two games. And there they are with a first half that was awful, producing nothing. It made sense that they would come back, right? I mean, they know what 0-3 means. What is it we're talking about last week? 3% chance to make the playoffs
right.
when you're 0-3. They know what that means. They were a desperate team, and they played like it. And I think it kind of took the Bills back on their heels a little bit.
And I'll tell you, this is one of the things we noticed in the offseason. 2 years ago, the Bills offense with Tyrod Taylor. They never turned it over, and they kind of ground out a lot of time. They were in tight games a lot, and the Bills' defense faced a lot of teams that felt like they had to score some points. That churned out a lot of turnovers, and you saw the result of that yesterday. There was a lot of chances. Tre'Davious White, two interceptions, and then we had also the forced fumble. You get teams that are playing a little bit on the ragged edge of what they're capable of because they're desperate to score points or get back in a ball game where the Bills have a lead. Those turnovers start to happen like that when you get into games like that, and those are big plays. Now, of course, the Bills, you know, gave it back to them a couple of times. Yelled and coughed one up, and of course, Josh threw the ugly interception. I say it was worse than the Detroit interception in the preseason.
Because it mattered.
Yeah, but it mattered. But it was also it was just as dumb too. I mean, yeah. You got to throw that ball into the third row, and he didn't get it done. All of that stuff said, the Bengals were on the ropes, and that's why not only did they have a lot of statistical success in their passing game in that second half, that's why they also, were throwing around. It was tipped balls, batted balls, and, fumbles and interceptions as well, because the Bills' offense had put them in a position to be down double-digit scores. They got to do something to get back in it.
Yeah.
And the NFL teams are going to get some things done when their backs are to the wall. They're going to try some things, and they're good enough to make it happen. And that's one of the reasons they climbed back into this game. They got some help from the Bills, and they made some hay for themselves when they were desperate.
Josh's game. You can find plenty of things wrong with it. Unlike the turnovers he had in the Jets game, there was at least one and maybe two yesterday that were bad decision-making, which kind of alarms us all, right? Because, he's a young guy. But what is he, 14 NFL starts? But I tried to explain this to somebody on the radio today. Here they are again, fourth quarter, and the first time I met him, essentially, I realized what a competitive fire burns in Josh Allen. And that fire, he can turn the switch on and bring you back. He's done it a couple times now in the first three games.
Yeah, you just hope that as Josh Allen matures and plays more, that the risky decisions get less and less. But I played with a lot of quarterbacks in Buffalo that were very maligned in this town for being too conservative. So you almost have to take the good with the bad. And naturally, he has a gunslinger mentality. And you mentioned his competitiveness. And that comes on full display with the game on the line.
Yeah.
The scrambles, the plays he makes out of the pocket, what he's willing to put his body through on a Sunday to get a win shows each and every week. And you have to take some of the good with the bad. But he'll learn. He gets that really bad intentional grounding that takes away points. And then he throws that bad interception in the second half. He almost throws another interception trying to take the top off the defense to Robert Foster. And Sean McDermott would always say, you either win in this league or you learn. You're not necessarily losing if you're learning from your mistakes and you could constantly get better. He's all about the growth mindset of a team, of an individual. Well, it's very nice to learn from wins as well. And so the Bills are 3-0. And you're never going to play a perfect game. I mentioned that. We always used to say as offensive linemen, you'd get really upset when you get beat, but we'd say, hey, these guys get paid too. They get paid to play this game for a living as well. But it's great that Josh can learn from some of these mistakes with wins, and you just hope that each week he grows and doesn't repeat mistakes. But we saw, I've heard fans and media personalities say he plays hero ball. And sometimes the hero ball is great. We saw him throw a pass to Tommy Sweeney that a lot of quarterbacks wouldn't attempt off their back foot, and it hit Tommy Sweeney in the chest. It was almost a touchdown.
Right.
Now, that's a risky throw there too. So you don't want him to completely dial back all of his playmaking ability. You just would like to see some of it get tightened up.
Yeah, that's the thing. I equate it to a roller coaster. The highs are great. If you can cut off the bottom loop there in your performance and just get rid of – you can keep all the highs, but just get rid of the mistakes, Certainly, you got to risk everything. It's still a roller coaster, but you got to cut out those bottoms, And when he does that, when he gets away from the silly throw or whatever, and also, too, the running that he did yesterday, they had a lot of designed runs, no question. A lot of times when he took some shots that he didn't need to take. I think as a young quarterback, when you're 23 – okay, I'll live with that once in a while. But by the same token, the longer you want him to play, the less and less and less of that he's going to need to do, because his mind will catch up to him and he'll be able to stand in the pocket and make decisions that get the ball out of there more so than him breaking contain and having to make something happen with his legs. Plus, they're not going to have – when you're 23, they'll make some design runs for you. When you're 28, 29, 30, they ain't going to be designing run plays for the quarterback anymore.
And I agree with that completely. And I think Josh Allen will get to a point where if it is a crucial third down, yes, try and get the first down at the expense of taking a shot. Even on a designed quarterback run, though, a slide is a win. At the end of the play, a slide is a win. A 20-yard gain is great, but a slide is a win because your chances of winning football games in the National Football League with a backup quarterback go down tremendously, and that is historical. And Matt Barkley is a very capable backup, but if he doesn't play a down this year for the Buffalo Bills, that'll be a great thing because that means Josh Allen stayed healthy and is having a great year. So
right.
I say that with the game on the line in the fourth quarter, I loved that he went for the end zone, that they ran a designed quarterback run to get down to the one-yard line on the read option play, that he scrambled and broke out and got them down to the eight-yard line. But early in the game, in the first quarter, I don't know that there's a situation where I think it's appropriate for him to take a big shot.
Right.
Steve and I have Eric Wood in studio with us for this first hour of the show. Give us a call if you want to discuss. 803-0550, toll-free, 1-888-552-550. Send in a tweet. We'll read it on the tweet sheet. What did you like about yesterday's game? What did you dislike? We'll hear them both. We'd like to hear one of each, a like and a dislike from you. Eric, offensive line play yesterday, and there's plenty of people looking at what Josh did and finding fault, but second half especially, he was under duress, and it was the guys we knew about and talked about, Carlos Dunlap and Geno Atkins. Hubbard had a really good, strong game for them. Billings on the inside, they were getting after Josh a lot and having success, kind of forcing him into some of those bad decisions, I thought.
The Bengals' front four is great up front.
Yeah.
Billings is a capable rusher. Yeah. I mentioned on air yesterday that he's a squattier build. Yeah. He's 6'1". He's listed at 328. He might be closer to 350 than he is 320. But he's a capable rusher himself. Geno Atkins is a pro bowler every single year, all pro a number of times. Carlos Dunlap is a great rusher, right, and his size can be – it can be shocking. He has extremely long arms, but he's also strong. He's smart. He's in his 10th year now, 9th or 10th year. He's experienced. These rushers are good. Hubbard, in his second year out of Ohio State, a very good rusher. So they have a number of good rushers that they can bring to the table. And it's a tough test. And Cody Ford got exposed a little bit early in the game working against Dunlap. I thought Deion Dawkins did a pretty good job against him because that could be a tough matchup. Even when Cordy Glenn was playing at an exceptional level here, we played a number of games against Cincinnati where either Michael Johnson or Carlos Dunlap would give him some fits. So I thought Deion did good. But that's a good front. And you saw it yesterday. And they were able to pressure Josh Allen, and they caused some errant throws. They caused the intentional grounding, essentially caused the throwaway interception, and a number of that you can give credit to the Bengals front four.
And I'll tell you this, too. One thing, and we were kind of mentioning all the kind of problems that the Bengals defense proposed to the Buffalo Bills offense. One thing I did kind of like and have liked throughout the first week, and he's getting some kudos for it, is Brian Daboll's game plan. We saw Dawson Knox be featured a little bit yesterday on a catch. He had one drop that would have been a phenomenal catch down inside the five, but he also had the sweep where he ran it. He had the angry run in the 51-yarder on the game-winning drive. He had the touchdown pass early. And then they did that without Devin Singletary in the lineup. T.J. Yeldon came in, had a costly fumble, but he also did some things later on in the game. Frank Gore continues to do it. But I like the game plan of the offense going into these games because it seems to me they're doing what a lot of really good teams do, which is they have the ability to change their identity from week to week. And I thought that's really the most encouraging thing going forward, is that they've found different ways to have offensive success with different guys being featured.
I agree 100%. I think Brian Daboll has done an exceptional job through 3 weeks, and I know he's excited to play his former team, the Patriots, this week, and he'll have another great game plan ahead of him. In a conversation that I had with Daboll in the preseason, he was telling me it could be overwhelming the amount that they install in fall camp, because through Brian Daboll's offense, they essentially have zone runs, man runs, power runs, everything you could possibly think of. They have so many different schemes that it could be overwhelming on guys. It could be overwhelming on coaches that come into this offense to learn it themselves and to teach it. But once you install it all in fall camp, now you have all of that at your disposal through the season, and not all of that's up week to week. You have certain game plan things, but what it also allows you to do is, if you're struggling in the first half, you can even revert back to it at halftime and get plays in for the second half that you installed in fall camp. And I loved – one of the things I loved yesterday was – one of the Bengals' biggest weaknesses is their run defense, and a lot of that's on the edges because their linebackers are not super fast. Preston Brown was here. He's an excellent middle linebacker, very productive, but he's not super fast laterally, neither is Vigil. What the Bills came into yesterday was they lost their fast running back. They did not have Devin Singletary. Well, how do you get that edge back? Through the jet sweeps, through the end arounds. We saw John Brown have his first end around of the season this year. You saw Isaiah McKenzie. You even see Dawson Knox, who's a fast tight end. So they stress the edges because Yeldon and Gore, although very good running backs, are not burners on the outside. So I love that Brian Daboll said, okay, well, how do we manufacture those outside runs? How do we manufacture runs to the outside of the defense through the end arounds? Let's get McKenzie more involved and all that. And I thought it was just an excellent game plan. And one of the things I love most about Daboll's offense is week to week, and I try and mention it through the broadcast when I see it, you'll see exact same formations, exact same looks, exact same motions, and now this week it's a different play. So as a defender, you can no longer trust your film study because each week it's changing up.
We've got Eric Wood with us until 1 o'clock today. You're welcome to join us. Phone lines open at 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Let's take a few calls. We'd love to hear from you what you like about yesterday's game, what you did not like, and we'll start with Nathan in California. Hello, Nathan. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Okay.
Doing great.
What I love about the game yesterday is going into the fourth quarter, you could clearly see the momentum shifting from the Bills to the Bengals. And Steve, you can probably talk to this. I just noticed as the fourth quarter went along, the Bills did a great job of getting that momentum back in their favor. And I know that can be really difficult. What I didn't like specifically for that game yesterday was, you know, we kept hearing how bad their offensive line was. I know we did a pretty good job in the first half of limiting Dalton, but in the second half, they clearly made some adjustments, and I thought we were going to have a little bit more pressure on Dalton. But otherwise, it's so great to see. You could physically see with your eyes the progress that McDermott and McBean are making within the building, and it's showing up on the field. It's awesome not to get too far ahead of ourselves, but you look, 13 games left, you got to think if we win 7 of 13, we're good to go for the tournament this year.
What do you think about his first point about
momentum?
Momentum, yeah. Momentum,
yeah, sure. I agree. It does take a little bit to get the momentum back. I mean, once you've lost it, you got to flip that switch. What it really takes to get momentum back, and Eric, I see if you agree with me, you just need somebody to make a play. Need somebody to do something big that costs the other team field position or drive or a three and out, gets their offense off the field, puts your offense back on the field. And once you get somebody to do that, then you follow it up with somebody else makes another play in succession or very close after that. And then, lo and behold, the momentum is back in your favor. And that's really what it comes down to. And I think that's one of the things I like about Josh. You never know when the guy's going to go off the page, tuck the ball under his arm, and get a 15-yard run for a first down. Or in this case yesterday, Dawson Knox catches a corner route and runs through the Bengals' defense like it's their tall weeds. You know, I mean, it's unbelievable. Those are the kind of things that grab the momentum back. But it really comes down to it's not really strategic or anything. Somebody's got to do something, and that's what momentum is.
Absolutely. You hit the nail on the head, and with as loud as the crowd was – coming out of the half yesterday, John made a great point. The first drive for the opposing team out of the half is often the easiest drive on the road because the fans aren't all back. The NFL halftimes are short.
Right.
You know, I'm calling college games on Saturday. I feel like the halftime lasts forever, and it's only 5 minutes more, but I feel like it lasts forever.
5 minutes is 5 minutes, yeah.
In the NFL, it's cut down by 5 minutes. Well, that's 25%, you know, 33% increase to college in the halftime. So halftimes are short. Well, the fans can't all get back.
Right.
So the Bengals took advantage of that early in the third quarter. They were able to manufacture some drives with the crowd out of it. And it caused a little bit of a lull, but you're right. You have some Josh Allen plays. And I thought it was a small thing, but on that last drive, Frank Gore starts the drive off with a 9-yard run. And even the drive prior, he started the drive with a plus 10-yard carry. Mm-hmm. Those are huge to start a drive because as the Bengals were scoring, Frank Gore leads off two drives with very productive runs and gets them set up for success and steals, as we are talking about a little bit of that momentum back.
Yeah, that first drive after the half, the Bills come out offensively, and they had five straight runs in their first series. One was a 3-yard, then a 15-yarder, then a 5-yarder, then a 4-yarder. So they snapped off some good runs, but they only had five more because on the third and one, they got stuffed for a 3-yard loss. And it's those situational plays that kind of keep you on the field. And I think that this week, it's going to be a big difference maker. Third down, the Patriot defense is phenomenal on third down. They get teams off the field. It's hard to stay on the field. If you can keep the drive alive, you got a chance. The Patriots are really good in situational football. And Sean McDermott now, I think he's been on that bandwagon all through the offseason. He said, listen, we're going to be better at situational football when, you know, 2-minute drills, no huddle drills, coming out, you know, going in, red zone, and also third downs. So all the situational football becomes so important. And then this game, you know, on you know, the first drive out of halftime, they're always so important because that's when you make your adjustments. You got a chance, right? And they get stuffed on a third and one, and they come have to come off the field pretty quickly.
Steven, I could only laugh. I took a look at the you know, the rankings. After three games, Patriots 3-0. Okay, number one in defense. they lead in 10 different defensive categories.
Wow!
Total yards against, rushing yards against, passing yards against. They're number one in the league. Percent had intercepted. First downs per game, third down efficiency, points per game. They lead in every single significant defensive category. They are the NFL leaders. Now they haven't played anybody. We know that
they played the Steelers, where Ben Roethlisberger came out of the game.
The Miami Dolphins.
And the Jets,
yes.
With Luke Falk for the Jets. Yeah.
But
and who was and was it Josh Rosen for the Dolphins when they played, or was it Fitz?
No, it was Fitz.
Is it Fitz?
Well, okay. Both. A little bit of both.
Go. Yeah. There you go.
Hey, it was a great day yesterday, and we're going to pick it over here today on the show until 3 o'clock. Eric's going to be with us till 1. Dotson Knox is on the way here. His way here. We'll have him in a moment. But just a great day. 82 degrees, sunshine, perfect weather. A lot of celebs in attendance. Steve was there. Steve,
what?
You're a celeb. Bill's alone.
I'm not even a celeb in the studio, let alone anywhere else.
Steve was hanging in our booth while Eric and I were sweating it out, getting through the game. Just a lot of good people there at the game. One of them is an acquaintance of mine, Jeff Glore. He's a former anchor of the CBS Evening News. He's now a CBS reporter, anchors the CBS Saturday Morning Show. He was there with his son, Jack. We met prior to the game. Great guy. And Bill Fichtner was here. We know Bill Fichtner, right? He's basically in every movie or TV show ever made. Bill Fichtner was here yesterday. I got a chance to talk with him post-game. A lot of good people here. Bill Fichtner out in the parking lot with some folks. He's a good man.
Wolford was here.
Will Wolford
brought his family up. My family came up. Yeah. Got to see Jim Kelly after the game, pop by his tailgate after the game. And
I said hi to Jim earlier in the day, too. He's doing good.
Great day.
Yeah.
All right, more on this game coming up, more on the Patriots coming up, and Dotson Knox is going to join us when we return. Come on back. Just getting rolling. Eric Woods is going to be with us till 1 o'clock. One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health, coming to you from the Seneca Studios on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Josh looks left, fires left, got a man wide open. It is caught by Dotson Knox out of midfield on the run. Gets past one man, trying to get past another man, pulls him down, and he is finally knocked out of bounds at the Cincinnati 24-yard line. Dotson Knox running after the catch. Knocking down Bengals along the way. What a huge play that was. Maybe the biggest play of the game, right? Yesterday, the big 49-yard catch and run after the catch by our next guest, Dotson Knox, Bills rookie tight end, in studio with us. Congratulations on the win. Congratulations on the play. That's a big one.
Oh, thank you. That was fun. The crowd was amazing. We could feel the energy the whole game.
What have you heard from people about that play and about the stiff arm and making all this?
you know, I really didn't realize what it looked like on TV, but there's been some people like messing with me saying, you know, whoa, watch out, don't touch me.
That's not a bad thing.
Yeah, asking why I was angry and stuff.
Yeah,
but
right.
The funny thing is the kickoff return right before that, I got blown up, and it kind of it kind of made me mad. So
you were like, a little frustration run? Oh, so it wasn't anger run, it was a frustration run, right?
Yeah, right.
Very nice.
Call it that.
Yeah, that's good. So that was a – little corner route. You kind of got some opportunities in this game. You were kind of maybe a centerpiece. You got the touchdown early. You had this play. You also had the chance on the almost the same play, the other side going down, and he couldn't connect on it with Josh. And he had the end, the jet sweep as well. Did you know that going in? Did you say, hey, listen, we need you because, you know, Devin Singletary's out or for whatever reason?
You know, honestly, it didn't feel a whole lot different than the other game plans. We had the jet sweep in, which was obviously different than the other weeks, but it wasn't a whole lot different. I knew that if they called any certain play, I'd try to get open and assume the ball was going to come to me. But, yeah, Josh made a good throw on that other corner route. Should have caught that one. It's kind of funny how that works. You know, you make a good play and people forget about the other one. But we could be sitting here talking about a drop and a false start. So obviously a lot of things to work on and get better at. But felt good with most of it yesterday.
You mentioned the jet sweep, and you don't often see a jet sweep to a tight end in the game plan, which is great. It was great play design and all that. Had you run one of those before in your career? And what's are you getting the handoff and simply sprinting towards the sideline trying to get outside leverage?
So honestly, I've never done anything like that at Ole Miss, but we started practicing it this week, and you know, Coach Daboll really liked how it looked, and Tommy had a great block on the edge. The line did great up front. It was a perfect handoff from Josh. So really, I was just supposed to come in motion. He snapped it perfectly right on time, got the handoff, supposed to kind of run backwards just a little bit to avoid the end, and then when I got out there, it was just some good green grass, so it was pretty fun to actually take a handoff.
And then you lowered the boom on Williams at the end of the run.
Right. Tommy helped me out with that one a little bit because he was already going backwards. So it probably made it look better than what it really was.
With the Bills rookie tight end Dawson Knox with your first NFL touchdown yesterday. Tell us about that play, the one-yard catch from Josh.
You know, that's my first time being in the end zone in a long time.
Yeah.
But that one, as soon as he called it, I was hoping it was going to go to me. We started in motion across the line of scrimmage, come back. He snapped it as soon as I got in the B gap, just kind of disappeared under the line and was able to break out free. And Josh did a great job of winning that end up the field and just gave me an easy catch that anyone really could have caught.
Well, you're three games into your rookie season, and you know, you don't know how it's going to work out when everything starts. But we found out early, particularly last week in the Giants game, you got out in space, made a nice block on Singletary's run to get to the edge. Did you know that's got to be a tougher block to make out in space for sure to get out away from everything? But did you have a good idea that physically you're going to, you know, be a good enough blocker at this level? Because we heard you were going to be a good receiving tight end, you know, and you know what they say about receiving tight ends, because they can't block. Well, you seem to be excelling at both sides. What did the coaching staff say? Give feedback about both sides of your game, blocking and receiving.
They've been encouraging and just trying to help build my confidence in the run game and blocking and just technique in general. Because at Ole Miss, when I got there, I was a former quarterback, so I had no clue, you know, what all the leverage looked like, hand placement and everything. So started my foundation there. But as I got here with Coach Boris, he's done a great job. And Lee Smith is, you know, as good of a pass or as good as a blocking tight end in the league that, you know, anyone can see. So they've done a great job kind of helping me feel confident in that area. So,
yeah,
you missed so much time through the preseason with the hamstring injury. How tough was it to adjust to playing in an NFL game without the preseason as a rookie this year?
You know, I wasn't – obviously didn't expect to have a hamstring issue. That was definitely frustrating, just something out of my control. But I was happy to be able to get some snaps in the third preseason game, kind of start getting the feel for the speed of the game and everything. Felt like I was a little rusty coming back, but after a few practices, I felt like I was able to kind of get back in the routine.
Hey, Dawson, you know, Bills fans and good fans are thinking, why did they have to come back and win that game yesterday? Have you, as a team, discussed that or thought about that, like how the lead got away and how you had to make another comeback to win it?
You know, we haven't really broken down the film in depth yet. Obviously, you know, I made a bunch of mistakes during the game. I think there were some areas we can all improve. But, I mean, that's kind of how it is with almost any game you play. You're never going to play a perfect game. There's going to be ups and downs. So we did I think as a team did a great job bouncing back from some adversity. And I think that's kind of the mark of a good team, being able to fight back like that.
What were your impressions of the crowd here, the noise, the atmosphere at One Bills Drive?
Oh, it was incredible. I've heard stories and rumors and how loud it was going to be, the energy, but being out there, especially when we're on the sideline, when the defense is out there, I mean, it's deafening. You can't hear yourself think. So they bring a lot of energy that kind of helps pump us up a little bit too.
It's one of the fun things as well. When you scored that touchdown, that you know, get that crescendo, and you're kind of celebrating. You probably didn't even hear the crowd at that point. You're turning around looking for the guys. I saw you slap a few fans on the way around. No real choreographed celebration there? Has it been so long?
You know, I'm not really one to be flash and have a certain celebration. Saw all the fans there. I wanted to go give them some love and really just celebrate with my teammates that are out there. So I don't really have any, you know, one go-to, at least not yet. I don't think I will.
But. Well, your first touchdown since high school.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Since I had – my senior year, I played the first game at quarterback, then got hurt. But my junior year, I had a receiving touchdown. So since then, it was a long stretch not scoring. Every week in college, we were kind of going to the game hoping, you know, oh, maybe I'll get a touchdown pass. But towards the end of the season last year, I was kind of excited to maybe say my first touchdown since high school was in the league.
Are you the highest drafted tight end in NFL history without a touchdown catch?
You know, I have no idea, but I'd be pretty curious to see what those stats look like.
Everybody's geeked up for the Patriots game, Dawson, and of course, you're a newcomer here. But the one thing I've noticed, and these guys, Eric would attest to this, I think, one of the things Sean McDermott does best is to keep his team on an even keel, right? And people are going to be over the moon about this win yesterday and about the Patriots. But I assume it'll be pretty much of a workmanlike atmosphere in your locker room and on the field here this week.
Oh, absolutely. I think kind of when we were battling back from some adversity yesterday, it shows how good Coach McDermott is, kind of keeping us level-headed, not getting too high when we're up, not getting too down when we're not doing things the right way on the field. But I think we're just going to go into this week with the same mentality, just to go 1-0, not focus on what it looks like after this week, but right, just to go in and try to win this game.
Could be a fun
week.
Thanks,
man. Good seeing you. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, for sure.
Have
yeah,
a great week.
I appreciate
Congratulations
it.
On the win.
Thank you.
Dawson Knox, Bills tight end, Steve and I and Eric coming back with more One Bills Live from the Seneca Studio, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back. It's One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health. We're coming to you from our Seneca studio in Orchard Park. It's really raining here, Steve. You know, we have some of our listeners and viewers like when we talk about the weather, particularly right. The weatherman.
Right, right. Yeah, it's bad out. I mean, it's really coming down.
Yeah.
But I'm not ready to do this completely yet.
What?
We can spend a couple minutes talking about the Patriots.
We need to. Now
we're not going to turn the page yet. I mean, because we still got to put this one to bed.
A week ago, Eric, Steve wanted to talk about the Patriots, right? You did.
I did.
You're like, oh, we got the Bengals game. We're good. Let's talk about the Patriots.
It wasn't quite like that, but yeah. But now, it's, you know, here's my take on the early
Tasker take
forecast for what this week's going to be like. Yeah, the Bills can beat this team. But you can't make mistakes like you did Sunday. You can't right. make mistakes like you did on week one of the season either. You can't give it away really at all and hope to beat the Patriots. Because I think the Bills are as talented. They got all the talent they need to win this game or to win any game they go into. They got plenty of talent to win football games at this level. But they can't make mistakes. And I think the Patriots have made a living over the last, 20 years of beating teams because they made fewer mistakes. And if you made a mistake, they were able to capitalize more often than you were able to. That's the story of it. They're going to come in with a great game plan. They're going to come in with adjustments. If you can execute your game plan and do it with mistake-free, you can beat that team, particularly in this building, in New Era Field. That's my take on this game. The Bills have the talent. But they have to play mistake-free football.
You're absolutely right. And you're not going to beat New England only scoring 17 points. You're going to have to put points on the scoreboard, and we mentioned how good their defense has been this year. And you're right. They live off of turnovers, and from conversations I've had with Tom Brady personally, he's been in the same offense for so long, he knows where the dead plays are when he gets a certain look post-snap. And he just burns the ball into the ground. He'll throw it right at a running back's feet. He'll throw the ball away when he needs to. And they avoid making the crucial mistake. And they're waiting for you to make that crucial mistake yourself. They also have a very good offense. So they're putting up points. They put the pressure on you to then, a lot of teams, get down a score or two. Well, then the Patriots will have designed blitzes, pressures. They are everything about them is trying to steal the little inches of a game plan and then capitalizing when you don't, when you make the mistakes yourself.
And one of the things about it as well is that it, when the Bills come out and the Patriots, like you say, he'll throw the football in the feet. He'll throw it away because he has supreme confidence that they've got another play, next play, that's going to work. I don't know that Josh Allen, this offense, has confidence that they're going to like be over to come. Josh feels like he needs to win it on this play. He doesn't think about next play.
Right.
He doesn't, you know, he's not there yet. He's not to the point where he says, all right, I'm going to throw this down because I know on third down I got to play. Or we've done this before. I don't need to win it here. I can win it on the next one. He doesn't have that level of confidence yet in this offense. And I don't think he's there as a competitor yet. He wants to win it now. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He doesn't have that patience level.
That
and I think that's one thing that Brady has over so many guys, where he's patient enough to know that he's going to go, even if he comes off the field, they're going to come on with an adjusted game plan going forward.
And another thing that Tom Brady now has, when you talk about Edelman and Josh Gordon and all these guys, he's got some serious firepower at receiver now. The running back room stacked. They have so many weapons on offense now that he truly does know that the next play could be the explosive play that they've been waiting for. One guy they don't have this week, and I'm about sick of talking about him, is Antonio Brown, who's been cut. And for as big of a clown as that dude has made himself out to be in the last couple weeks, to not have the best receiver in football on the field for the New England Patriots is a good thing for the Bills, because he's simply a matchup nightmare.
Right.
You know, do you play man? You need to play a good amount of man-to-man against Tom Brady, because Edelman, his receiver, is so good at sitting in zones.
Josh Gordon's unbelievable.
Yes, he's a super talented receiver.
Phenomenal athlete. And so they, you know, they're deep.
Yeah, and but now you can maybe match up, you know, Tre'Davious White. Levi Wallace is a great cover guy himself, but now you can focus a little bit more on him, figure out what you want to do with Edelman. It just takes one weapon off the field when you don't have Antonio Brown. Another guy they don't have this year, thank God for the Buffalo Bills, because Gronk. He always liked to put on a show when he came home to Orchard Park, was Gronk. And not having him on the field is also a great thing. But they do have a number of weapons, as we mentioned. And this will be a huge game. But I loved your original point. The Bills are at the point as an organization right now, as a team, where they do have the talent to beat elite teams now.
Yep.
Can we say that last year? Probably not.
No.
And a big reason for that was the $60 million of dead cap money. You infiltrate all of this veteran talent they did, especially on offense, all the free agent signings they made this year. Now you have depth. You get an injury to Devin Singletary, and you have a guy like T.J. Yeldon fill in. You have Tyler Kroft out, but you have Lee Smith, Tommy Sweeney, Dawson Knox. It just feels like the Bills have so much more depth and overall talent as a team this year.
Eric, the 9 years that you played here and went against that Patriots dynasty up there, do you recall going up against them when you thought, wow, their defense, it might be better than their offense? That might be the case this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were some really good defenses that we played in New England. And I've always felt like New England as a whole on defense was always generally a better sum of its parts than the individuals on the team. They've had pass rushers like Chandler Jones throughout my career who, you know, led the league in sacks, you know, 1 year.
Yep.
And you had Vince Wilfork up front. You had a number of great playmakers. But what they do is they get guys to play certain roles for their defense, and they just do their job. So when you see the big defensive line out there for the Patriots, and they'll have almost what looks like two defensive lines, they are two gappers. They are trying to put their hands in your chest and let their linebackers run free. They will then flip that. And when they bring in their pass rushers, they are one-gap penetrators, and it almost gives you two different game plans to prepare for. They've always had good physical linebackers, and then this year, a couple years ago, they had Stephon Gilmore, who comes from here, kind of at that sweet spot of his career right off his first contract, who's playing great ball for him as well.
Their defense has always been at its best when they have one guy who can play corner and lock anybody down. They won with Darrell Revis. Now they've got Steph Gilmore over there. They like to have at least one of those guys who they feel confident they can throw out there against any one-on-one matchup, at least in certain situations, and win. And Steph Gilmore has given them that in the last few years. But you're right. As good as Tom Brady is, as mistake-free as they play, as loaded as they are offensively, their defense is the real story this year. It's ranked number one almost across the board. The only thing they're not is fourth down percentage. They give up a third of their fourth down go for it, right? They've given up one first down on a fourth down, right? They're number one in the league on every statistical category, or number two in the league. Their offense is holding on to the football 34 minutes a game. I mean, they're dominating in time of possession. They really are playing complementary football at a really high level defensively. I think that's the story coming in. I know Tom Brady's is the GOAT, their defense is the real story.
Yeah, they have been. And John brought up a good point. They haven't faced an offense with a ton of firepower yet, so this will be a true test, and you get the injury to Roethlisberger and all that. But this will be a big test for the Bills offense, and we're truly going to see what we have. You know, I love the fact, though, New England, they pride themselves on taking away what you do best. So in years that Fred Jackson was, you know, having an incredible season, they would never let him catch passes out of the backfield. They were always spying him in the screen game. They would load the box when it looked like you were going to hand it off to him. The year that Stevie was having a great year, they would make sure you couldn't pass it to Stevie. Someone else is going to beat us. Well, this year the Bills have so many weapons on offense, and they mix up their game plan and spread the ball around so well. It'll be interesting to see what exactly they try and do defensively. I would imagine on first and second down, Stephon Gilmore will try and take away John Brown. The Bills have made hay throwing the deep comebacks to John Brown. Any off coverage, Josh Allen's done a great job of just slinging the ball out to the sideline, getting the ball in his hands. I would imagine the Patriots will try and take that away. And then on third down, probably look for Cole Beasley to take away the middle of the field against him. Josh has looked to him often there. John Brown as well on third down. So it'll be interesting to see. But the Bills have so many different weapons this year, they're almost at a luxury where the Patriots can't simply take away one receiver or one running back.
Last week's a great example. He had eight different guys caught a pass, and nobody caught more than like four passes or something like that, right? So they do spread the football around, and I think that is a crucial element to going in and being able to maybe find just the right guy on any play rather than having a guy that you're looking for where the Patriots know you're looking for him and can take him away. I think that's huge, and I think they've been building towards it for 3 weeks.
I haven't given this game a lot of deep thought yet. I will get into deep thought and concern as the week goes along. And I'm not a guy who likes to say, well, the pressure's on him now, the pressure's on him. I normally don't do that, but I agree with you guys about the talent level. The talent margin between the Bills and the Patriots has evened out a little bit. So, and I said this to you this morning in our office, to me, this game on Sunday is a lot to do with Sean McDermott and his staff, you know, and Brian Daboll and Leslie Frazier. Like, so your talent is getting close to these guys, now find a way. And it's a challenge. But really, isn't it their job to find a way to make this a game? I mean, every week it is, but I feel like more so this week.
That's a really good point, and I think you're right. And I think they feel it. I think this coaching staff knows this is it's a yardstick for them, too. They don't want to blow a timeout. They don't want to – you know, do a bad challenge. They don't want to, you know, go for it when they shouldn't go for it or go for it in a bad situation. They don't want to get lost in that. They don't want to get, you know, leave something on the table where that gives Bill Belichick and his staff on the sidelines who aren't even in the game to get an advantage somehow. I saw it last night in a couple of ways, even from Cleveland. They left something on the table last night in their game. Freddie Kitchens did. And so you're right. But let's face it, I've said this a billion times to little league football teams, to businesses, to pro football players. You win the game by preparing for it. You win the game Monday through Saturday. The game just tells you how you did in your preparation. That's where this is where Sean McDermott and his staff, really, the pressure's on all week for them to get this team that has been a little up and down to play mistake-free.
This 3-0 team that's been up and
down.
That's
right. Yeah.
Eric, you're retracing your steps again, right? You got an ACC game at Syracuse Saturday and right back here in Buffalo on Sunday. That's not a bad deal, though.
No, that's a dream for me. What wasn't a dream was the prior week. I was in Blacksburg, Virginia for Virginia Tech. And to get to New Jersey that night, two Saturdays ago, I had to drive from Virginia Tech 3 hours to Charlotte, then fly to New York. Yeah. That was not fun.
Yeah.
But last week, the quick drive – down the 90 is exactly what I was looking for, and extremely thankful to be back at Syracuse. It's funny to me how it's not it shouldn't surprise me because they're everywhere. And when you come up into New York, so many Bills fans at the game. So I have a live microphone on the sideline.
At the Syracuse game?
Yeah, so I'm a field analyst, but I have a live microphone, so I'm on the sideline. What people don't quite understand is the game's going on. My microphone's live the entire time, and I have guys shouting, "Bills Mafia, go Bills," throughout the game. At times, my microphone was probably picking it up. It probably sounded like I was in Orchard Park.
That's great.
Have a great trip home. Safe trip home.
We'll see you next week. Thank you for coming in today.
Yeah, it was a pleasure, guys.
Eric Wood, Bills center, longtime center, of course, color analyst on the Bills Radio Network. We've got Chris Brown coming in to break down the game. We'll take more of your phone calls when we return as well. So come on back. We're really just getting started here. We're here until 3 o'clock. It is One Bills Live from the Seneca Studios at One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.